Dalai Grumbler.
Says that normally the definition of a shaheed, a martyr, is considered to be one who gives his life up in the way of Allah the Almighty. Without a doubt, one who sacrifices his life for the sake of God attains the rank of shaheed, martyr. Allah the Almighty opens the doors of paradise for such a person. However, there is a wide-ranging scope to the meaning of martyr or shaheed. There are other meanings entailed in martyr. Thus, today, in light of the explanations and commentaries of the Promised Messiah, whom be peace, and also in light of some hadith, I will expound on this topic. The youth and children who grow up here and study in these countries raise this question. This has been asked of me several times already. Recently in Hamburg, a Wakfino, the class of Wakfino girls, was held. Perhaps a girl there asked me the question. She said that when you relate the incidents of the martyrs, it is often mentioned that the martyrs had asked their close relatives to pray for them, that they are martyred, or that they obtain the rank of martyrdom, or they ask that martyrdom is given to those who are of really good fortune. So thus, instead of asking for prayers to become a martyr, the question is asked, is that why do they not ask to pray to obtain dominance over the enemy or opponents? Most certainly, the prayer to obtain supremacy over the opponents is our foremost prayer. Allah the Almighty has promised that preeminence is the lot of the divine communities, and victories and triumph are destined for them. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was also repeatedly informed of successes and victories. Allah the Almighty informed the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, of triumph. It is our firm belief that Jamaat Ahmadiyya will observe clear and evident signs of this. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, we are witnessing signs of this already. Every year, despite opposition, in the hundreds of thousands, people take the Pledge of Allegiance and enter into Jamaat Ahmadiyya. This includes in such countries where opposition is at its full force. So thus, all of this is progress and triumph, the scenes of which we observe. In the same way, the Jamaat holds other programs in which it depicts the true picture of Islam and thus removes the doubts and misgivings of the non-Muslim world. The success in this and these aspects are our steps towards success and triumph which Jamaat Ahmadiyya is moving towards. This will culminate at one time with Jamaat Ahmadiyya bringing about an extraordinary revolution in the world. Inshallah, God willing. For this, every single Ahmadi must make efforts and must also pray. In any case, in order to achieve major objectives, sacrifices are required. This includes the sacrifice of life. The members of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, wherever it is required, give every single type of sacrifice and they are always remain prepared to do so. This also entails a sacrifice of life. Those who make this sacrifice of life are conferred upon with the status of martyrdom. Such people enter into the paradise of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. However, as I stated, shahadat, martyrdom, is not limited in its meaning to only this. It is necessary for those youth and children who ask these questions and also the elders to understand the deeper meanings of this so that every single person can strive to obtain the status of shahadat and understand the spirit of that prayer and thus enter into the paradise of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated to Hadrat Abu Huraira, "If only those who are slain in the way of Allah the Almighty are considered to be shaheed, martyrs, then there will be very few martyrs in my ummah." There is a hadith of Muslim, in which the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "A person who with sincere intentions yearns to obtain martyrdom is placed by Allah the Almighty into the category of the martyrs, even if he dies upon his bed." We also observe on the occasion of the Battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, invoking the promise of Allah the Almighty, asked for success or victory. And he prayed for the life of the Muslims who were with him in the Battle of Badr. He did not pray for martyrdom by the sacrifice of life. The Prophet supplicated, "If these Muslims are destroyed, then there will be no one left to worship you." Allah the Almighty has also assigned the purpose of creation as worship. Thus, the purpose of a true believer and the purpose of creation is not just to sacrifice one's life once. Rather, it is to continuously and incessantly strive to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and to always remain prepared at all times to make every sacrifice. Indeed, it is also mentioned in the hadith, "A mu'min, a believer, should not desire for battle, fights or wars. However, when he is forcibly entered into such a circumstance, when against the religion efforts are made to take the life of a believer, then he should not turn back out of fear. Rather, he should courageously and bravely offer the sacrifice of his life and should never retreat. When the circumstances of war were present and war and battle was permitted, the enemy and the opponents were fought against, and the life of a person was given up, and thus a mu'min, a believer, would obtain the rank of martyrdom or victory. And there was no hint of fear whatsoever. In the circumstances of today, there is no such war. The opponents of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, who are cowardly, attack in subtle ways. However, even if they attack in the open, even then, we have not been instructed to fight back through war. Some Ahmadis receive warning letters that either leave Ahmadiyyat or be prepared to die. Thus, at such a time, the bravery of an Ahmadi entails, and the Pakistani Ahmadis do demonstrate this, that they say that perhaps their life can be taken, however, they will never give up their religion or the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Thus, this is the hallmark of a believer, which in every situation, in different circumstances and situations, always remains preserved. However, what is the scope of the meaning of martyrdom, as I stated? Allah the Almighty has taught the prayer to be included amongst the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. So what does this actually mean? What is its philosophy? What are its deeper meanings? To understand this, we have been conferred upon with a favor by Allah the Almighty, that we have been enabled to accept and believe the Imam of the time, the promised Messiah, and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, on whom be peace. He has very clearly and openly explained this matter to us, and he has expounded what its essence is. Presently, as I have already mentioned with regards to the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous, I will not relate their individual attributes and qualities. As I stated, that questions are often raised regarding the shaheed, the martyrs. In light of the promised Messiah, A.S.A.'s explanations and commentaries, I shall present this topic. Because currently the topic of martyrdoms is being discussed. In numerous places, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has written regarding the essence and the station of martyrdom. I shall present the extracts in this regard. From this, it becomes evident why it is necessary to pray to become a martyr. It also becomes clear what type of a martyr one should pray to become, and why a true believer should yearn to obtain this. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that normal people have only understood the meaning of shaheed, a martyr, as one who is slain in a battle, one who drowns in a river, or who dies in an epidemic. However, I state to only believe this much, and to keep its meaning limited to this, does not behove a believer. A martyr is actually such a person who obtains the strength of steadfastness and resolve from Allah the Almighty. No calamity or tragedy can change him and cannot shake him from his position. In times of hardships and difficulties, he remains at the forefront. To the extent that if purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty he has to give up his life, then he acquires extraordinary steadfastness and resolve. Without feeling any anguish or grief whatsoever, he puts his head down in sacrifice. Without any grief, without any anguish whatsoever, he places his head down for sacrifice. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, and such a person desires to be given life again and again, and to give it up again and again in the way of Allah the Almighty. They have such a delight and pleasure in their soul that every sword that strikes upon their body and every blow or attack against them gives them a new life and a new freshness. So these are the meanings of shaheed. This word also derives from shahed, honey. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that this word also derives from shahed. Those who endure hardship in worship, that is, whilst worshipping, they also undergo great and difficult efforts, and undergo all types of acrimony in the sake of Allah the Almighty, and are remain prepared to do so. They, like honey, they find a sweetness. And just like honey is the testification of fihi shifa'u linnas, that is, it is like a cure, such people are also like an antidote. Those who come into their company are saved from many ailments. If a person only obtains martyrdom through dying, then how can one obtain benefit from being in their company? True pieties, to act in accordance with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and to obtain nearness to Allah the Almighty are also the stations and ranks of martyrdom. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, one who comes into their company is saved from many ailments. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, martyrdom is also the name of that station and rank where in every aspect of one's life he looks towards God, or at least he believes that Allah the Almighty looks over him. This is also called ihsan. Where the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that the station of martyrdom also entails that in every single aspect of his life he looks at God, or at least he believes that Allah the Almighty looks at him. That whatever a believer does, he has absolute and firm belief that Allah the Supreme is watching over my act. When this situation is brought about, then a person's focus is always towards performing virtues. Such a person can never perform a bad act. With reference to the being of God, what is ihsan? Because the Promised Messiah says that when this circumstance is brought about, then ihsan materializes. In one place, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, explaining what ihsan is, says that Allah the Almighty has commanded you that you should act with adl, justice, with Allah the Almighty and His creation. The state before ihsan is adl, justice, that is, to discharge the rights due to Allah and mankind. If one can act beyond this, then do not just act with adl, justice, but also act with ihsan. That is, to act beyond one's obligations and to act with such servitude to Allah the Almighty as if one sees Him. Now one must naturally perform the obligations assigned upon him. However, beyond this is the nawafil, the voluntary prayers. It is to fulfill the right of the worship of Allah the Almighty, to establish a firm bond with God the Supreme. When one acts in this way, this is servitude to God and ihsan. And this leads one towards the station of martyrdom. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that one should be kind and benevolent to people beyond their obligation. To just confer the people with their right is not sufficient. Rather, to acquire the highest station and standard to be included amongst those people who obtain the status of martyrdom. Alongside fulfilling the due right of people, one should also act with great love, affection, kindness and benevolence. Then the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that the requirement of justice is that one should form such a bond with Allah the Almighty, where he has such a firm conviction that no one else is worthy of worship except Allah, no one else is worthy of being loved apart from Allah, and no one else is worthy of being relied upon or trusted apart from Allah the Almighty, because He is also the Khaliq, the Creator. He also sustains this life and all the blessings within. And He is also the Rabb, the Nourisher, and He confers His blessings. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that it is not sufficient for a believer to just believe in these things, or to only consider that it is Allah the Almighty who is the possessor of all powers and the Rabb. Rather, there should be progress. One should step further beyond this. This progress entails that one should be so firmly convinced of the greatness of Allah the Almighty, and one should present himself with such awe, respect and humbleness before Allah the Almighty. One should submit before God the Almighty in such a way. One should worship God the Exalted with such a heartfelt passion which is born from the heart. And this is the state one should develop. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that one should be so lost in the love of Allah the Almighty as if one has seen with his eyes the greatness, majesty and grandeur and unending beauty of Allah. Thus, when a person witnesses the unlimited and unending beauty, grandeur and splendor of Allah the Almighty, and has firm belief in the attributes of God the Supreme, when one remains focused upon the worship of Allah the Almighty, he can never perform any such act which is contrary to the pleasure of God the Almighty. When such a state is brought about, then this is the status of martyrdom. Here the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has also explained martyrdom as that when this connection with Allah the Almighty is formed, then the strength of steadfastness is born. For the sake of obtaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, a person becomes prepared to make every type of sacrifice. He does not do so out of any compulsion. Rather, he obtains satisfaction and tranquility facing the difficulties on this path. A believer stands before every difficulty with courage and boldness. There is no fear, no anguish, and no despair in his heart that if I had not acted in this way, if I had accepted the statement of such and such opponent of Ahmadiyyat, if I had left Ahmadiyyat after the threats against me, then I would have avoided the difficulties that I am currently facing. A believer can never even think in this way if he is in the true sense a believer. In fact, the strengthening of the faith, firm belief in the existence of Allah the Almighty, even through such difficulties, confers upon him comfort, ease and delight. Thus, this is the status of martyrdom. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has also stated that a person acquires the rank of martyrdom when after enduring difficulties, he carries out the worship of Allah the Supreme. It is when a person sacrifices all worldly comforts for the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and for his worship. And not only does he sacrifice this, rather he should reach that position and station where he obtains such satisfaction and tranquility from Allah the Almighty as a result of carrying out this act. That he receives such enjoyment and delight through this worship. In the same way, one obtains delight and sweetness through eating honey. The worship and prayer of a believer, the focus towards prayer of a believer or the focus towards worship should not be as a result of any compulsion. Rather, it should be only because of absolute belief in Allah the Almighty. It should be for the reason that he knows that Allah the Almighty is watching over him. Every single act that he carries out for the sake of Allah the Almighty should be a means of acquiring the pleasure of God. This pleasure of Allah the Almighty grants a person the status of martyrdom. In the same way, every vice that a person shuns, he shuns because Allah the Almighty has forbidden it. And a person considers that I have to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. I have to strengthen my relationship with God the Supreme. Because Allah the Almighty watches over my every good and bad act, my bad habits and my bad vices can be a means of incurring the anger of Allah the Almighty. When a person thinks in this way, then a person who tries to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty will not only be prevented from performing vices, but it will also draw his attention towards performing virtues. It will strengthen his faith and conviction in God the Exalted, and this is the true purpose of man's life. The true purpose of a believer. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further explains that normal people only believe martyr to mean that a martyr is he who is killed by an arrow or a gun, or is killed as a result of some other accident. Here I should also relate a hadith where the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, there are five people who have been included amongst the category of martyrs amongst those who die. It is mentioned in a hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there are five types of martyrs: one who dies in a disease or epidemic, one who dies as a result of a stomach illness, one who dies out of drowning, one who dies out of being crushed under a roof falling, or one who dies as a result of giving up his life in the way of Allah. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam is expounding upon this hadith. He says that in accordance with Allah the Almighty, this is not the only station of martyrdom. That is to say that this is martyrdom as a result of visible deaths. But there is also other stations or stages of martyrdoms in accordance with Allah the Almighty. Every believer should search for these. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that in my view is that the essence of martyr, whether his body is cut into pieces, is something else. That is a state which is connected to the heart. Remember that truthful, that is a siddiq, is near to a nabi, a prophet. At the outset I mentioned that Allah the Almighty has stated that pray that those people who act in this way, who obey Allah and His Messenger, are amongst the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. Thus the Promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, remember that the truthful are near to the stage of the prophets and are the second stage after. A shaheed, a martyr, is also right beside the stage of the truthful. A prophet possesses all these qualities. That is, a prophet is also a truthful, a martyr, and a righteous. However, truthful and martyr are separate stages. It is not a debate whether a truthful is a martyr or not. That most excellent stage, where everything is considered miraculous and extraordinary, they are in their status and stage separate. This is why Allah the Almighty grants such a person such a strength which gives him the ability to carry out the best morals and best actions, which are perfectly shown by him in their perfect form. And they are shown without any pretentiousness. No fear, neither any artificiality, are the motive of performing those righteous deeds. They are not as a result of any reason. Rather, they assimilate and become absorbed in his nature. There is no pretentiousness in his nature. Just like a beggar comes to a person. We see this example in the world. If a person approaches another, a person who comes begging, whether that other person has money or not, he is compelled to give money to the beggar if other people are standing in front of him. Because if he has expressed that he has a lot of money, even if he does not have a lot of money, out of embarrassment or shame, he gives some money. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, if not out of a fear of God, he does it out of a fear of people. That what will people say, that this person is begging, and I am affluent, and I have not given anything. However, this type of pretentiousness is not in a martyr. A martyr does not display this artificiality. And this quality strengthens in a martyr, as it increases and strengthens. To that same extent, his pain and suffering decreases, and he does not feel any burden. In order to bear all types of hardships for the sake of Allah the Almighty, he becomes prepared, and he remains prepared without any pretentiousness. He does not do it as a result of any fear or to receive any reward. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that, for example, an elephant will not feel or realize if an ant is upon his head. And thus in the same way, for a true believer, one who desires to acquire the status of martyrdom will feel no such pain or suffering. Thus here he has further explained, real martyrdom is the state of the heart. And this state of the heart is formed through absolute belief in Allah the Almighty and complete faith in Him. In other words, that this conviction, as I've already explained, that my every task, my every act is watched over by Allah the Almighty. And every act that I perform, I must perform for the sake of Allah the Almighty. High moral standards and most virtuous actions are then manifested in their true sense by a believer, by such a person who acts in this way. That is to say, the motive for doing these acts are not to show off in front of the world. Rather, it is to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. And this is not just merely an effort to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Rather, this becomes an intrinsic part of the nature of a true believer when he incessantly and continuously endeavors in this way. Then, apart from acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, he does not care for anything else. If, for example, he obtains the opportunity to serve the Jamaat, and a person carries out this service in an excellent fashion, then he does not do so so that he can be praised. Rather, he only does so so that he can acquire the pleasure of God the Supreme. He only does so because this service has become so ingrained in his nature that without this he could not rest in peace. Some people express anxiety and agitation when service of Jamaat is taken from them. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has provided an example that just as a beggar or a needy person goes to another person, then often the person that the poor person approaches or the worldly person he goes to gives something or the other to the beggar or needy person. However, in this, often, or in fact most of the time, there is pretentiousness and showing off. But this is not the station of a martyr. A martyr carries out this act of virtue because his nature is compelling him to act in this instinctive way. This strength of instinctive nature strengthens in him over time. He never feels after performing an act of virtue or performing any service that I have carried out some important or major task, and most certainly I should be rewarded or appreciated by people of the world. Because I have served the Jamaat, then most certainly office holders should return the favor to me. No, only for the sake of Allah the Almighty should that task be performed. Then the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, in his book Taryaqul Qulub, states that the status of martyrdom means that status when a person with his strength of faith has such firm belief in his Lord and the Day of Accountability as if he starts seeing God the Supreme with his own eyes. It is then that through the blessings of this absolute belief, the difficulties of performing righteous deeds are removed. The respect and pleasure of Allah the Almighty enter into the heart like the sweetness of honey and immerses the entire person with this. Every worry and every difficulty is shown as a blessing and reward. Thus, a shaheed, a martyr, is that person who, as a result of his strength of faith, is granted the mushahida, or is enabled to witness Allah the Almighty. And the sacrifices in the way of Allah are like sweet honey to him. And this is the spirit of the meaning of shaheed, a martyr. And this station is a sign for a true believer. Every believer does believe in the Day of Judgment. However, what does true belief in it entail? This firm conviction is developed by establishing a relationship with Allah the Almighty in this life. Worldly people, for the sake of their beloved, endure many hardships. So Allah the Almighty, who should be more beloved than all the beloveds, it would be so necessary to endure hardships in His way. The loves in the world, either with the passage of time, fade or diminish, or they finish in this life. However, the fruits of the love of Allah the Almighty, after passing through this life, reap even more in the next life. The reward of performing virtuous deeds takes one into the paradise of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Some actions that a person performs in this world at some times may be bitter and hard. For example, a worldly person may tell a lie to facilitate his worldly betterment. However, a true believer, considering falsehood equivalent to shirk, associating partners with God, will never try to lie in order to derive benefit. In fact, at times, truth in this world can be a means of harm. For example, Ahmadiyyat is a truth. In accordance with the promise of the Allah, the Almighty, we are those who have accepted that promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi was destined to come. However, this very truth in numerous countries has embroiled Ahmadis in hardships. This is most of all applicable in Pakistan. Ahmadis are punished for practicing this. Even then, they are firm upon their faith. Here, I should also say, incidentally, that as a result of the circumstances of Ahmadis, there are Ahmadis who migrate here for asylum. They come here for this purpose. As a result of the expression of truth, they have had to migrate from their country. However, if after coming here, they lie and utilize wrong statements as a means of their asylum, then all good would have been wiped away. In these countries, even now, there is great appreciation and regard for truth. If by telling the truth you say this much, there are some who have very genuine cases. Some had cases against them, had been beaten, had opposition and enmity against them. However, there are others who had not faced anything of the sort. So if by telling the truth you say this much, that due to constant torture, lawlessness, and the law that exists against Ahmadis, the freedom in our lives has been snatched from us. Thus, there are now such a state of affairs that we can no longer tolerate. Every person has his own level of tolerance and endurance. It is for this reason that we have migrated. Indeed, even now in Pakistan, there are Ahmadis in their hundreds of thousands, and inshallah, God willing, they will remain. However, every single person has a different level of tolerance. So if you say that we can no longer tolerate the state of affairs, and this is why we have come here, this is something that these people understand. And as a result of sentiments of compassion, they grant asylum or a visa for a long period of time. However, if you lie, then as a result of telling one lie, you would need to tell many more lies. And in this way, the cases are ruined of some. Or if, say, some cases are passed despite this, then this is a certainty that such a person would be making his God angry. Thus, we should always keep in view the pleasure of our Allah the Almighty. Whoever I have advised to tell the truth and to give truthful statements, to lay the foundation of their case upon truth, and who have subsequently acted in their cases in a truthful manner, and then submitted to God Almighty in prayers, such people's cases I have seen have been passed in just a few days. In accordance with one hadith, those who remain firm upon the truth and migrate for the sake of the world are shaheed, in fact siddiq, martyrs and truthful. It has been narrated by Hadrat Abu Dawood that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that a person who out of fear of tribulations or trials in his faith migrates from one place to another is in the eyes of Allah the Almighty a siddiq, a truthful. If he dies in this state, he is shaheed, a martyr. He quoted this verse that those who believe in Allah and His Messenger are siddiq and shaheed, truthful and martyr in the eyes of the Lord. He said those for the sake of protecting their faith migrate from one country to another on the day of judgment will be in the same rank of paradise as Jesus, son of Mary. Thus, those of you who have migrated here, when you have migrated for the sake of the faith, then you must remain steadfast upon truth, and you must strengthen your faith and have firm conviction upon the day of accountability. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said in one place, that reward and punishment are a certainty. It is a command of Allah the Almighty, and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated this, and the promised Messiah alaihi salam has explained this. So when this is a certainty, in accordance with the command of Allah the Almighty, why should we not lead our lives in a way that gives us better reward? Why, for the sake of worldly desires, should a person become the recipient of the punishment of Allah the Exalted? In any case, this is a different subject, but in summary, is that the one who keeps in view the Day of Judgment is also one who holds absolute belief and conviction in Allah the Almighty, and is also a shaheed, a martyr. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, further explains, the excellence of a martyr is that in difficulties and times of suffering and trials and tribulations, he displays such strength of faith, strength of morals, and such high steadfastness and resolve, which as a result of its extraordinary nature, become a sign. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, as long as the faith is strong, to that same extent do the actions also gain strength. To the degree that if this strength of faith fully develops, then such a believer attains the rank or status of martyrdom. If this strength of faith completely develops, then such a believer attains the status of martyrdom, because none of his actions can be stopped or will hinder. He will not hesitate or fear even giving up his dear life. Thus, obtaining the status of martyrdom does not only entail giving up one's life. Rather, it is also acquiring the highest standard of faith and also to achieve the pleasure of God the Supreme. It entails that when one performs any act or any action, to have firm belief that Allah the Almighty is watching him. Briefly, I should also mention what standards Allah the Almighty has assigned of faith for a believer. God the Exalted states, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that believe in the unseen. He has said to observe prayer. Allah the Almighty has stated to spend in the way of Allah. He has also stated to have perfect belief in all past prophets and the Holy Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It is also to have belief in the Imam of this time, the promised Messiah, Imam Mahdi. Allah the Almighty states, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُؤْكِنُونَ, and who have firm faith in what is yet to come. In other words, they also believe in what has been promised to come. And amongst the latter days, the most important and major promise is the advent of the promised Messiah. This is why the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that in this part of the verse, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُؤْكِنُونَ, and to have firm faith in what is yet to come, Allah the Almighty has made it necessary to have belief in me. Then for the strength of the faith, Allah the Almighty has stated that it should be strengthened. It is the distinctive feature of a believer that he loves Allah the Almighty more than anyone else. Every single person should also keep this point in view. Allah the Almighty's love should supersede all other loves. If this love does not exist, then the faith weakens. Then it is to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His books, to believe in His messengers, and this has been mentioned already. All of these things are essential for faith. The standard of all of these aspects should also continuously increase. Another standard of the faith has been expounded by Allah the Almighty, is that when the name of Allah the Almighty is mentioned or invoked before those who believe, their hearts tremble in fear of Allah the Almighty. Then Allah the Almighty has stated that believers are those who carry out jihad in the way of Allah. Now there are numerous types of jihad. There is one jihad of the sword. With the coming of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that jihad of the sword has ended. Now there are neither any religious wars, and nor is there that type of jihad. Here, this jihad, which is the duty of an Ahmadi, and which he should perform everywhere and in every country for the strength of the faith and to obtain the status of martyrdom, that is the jihad of tabligh, of preaching. Thus, where you must carry out jihad, a struggle against the self, it is also the duty of every Ahmadi to carry out the jihad of spreading the message of Allah. This jihad can be carried out everywhere and in every country wherever anyone lives. It is the duty of every Ahmadi who comes here to fully partake in this jihad. Then it says that for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, to migrate is also a part of the faith. Another sign of the faith is that when those who believe are called towards the commands of Allah the Almighty, then they say, "Sami'na wa ata'na," we hear and we obey. They do not just listen to these commands from one ear and let it go out the other. Rather, they hear and then they obey. This is the hallmark or distinction of a true believer. There are many things which are advised and are counseled. You hear these sermons. This is not simply that you listen and then that is all, but rather you must also act upon it. You must hear and obey. You must act in such a way which becomes an example of obedience. Thus, when such efforts are made, one will become a true believer. And then you will march towards that station, which is the station of martyrdom. You will proceed towards that stage, which grants one the status of martyrdom. It is not the task of a believer to debate about this, that this and this command has this and this definition, or such and such interpretation. Or they start reasoning about it. This is not the task of a believer. They listen to the commands of Allah the Almighty, and it says that their hearts tremble. This is the task of a true believer. Furthermore, they submit down in humble prostration and supplication to ask strength from Allah the Almighty to act upon all of this. Then a true believer also continuously increases in his love for the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Therefore, these are the qualities which should be contained in a believer of this age. In fact, in this age, as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated in the conditions of the bid, that in the following of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and to continue his mission, the ardent devotee who Allah the Almighty has commissioned in this age, that is the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, the bond with him should supersede all worldly relationships. Thus, as I stated, these are the qualities that a believer should possess. When he possesses these qualities, then even if he dies a natural death, he obtains the rank and status of martyrdom. Thus, we should endeavor that in order to attain this status, we should develop absolute and perfect faith in Allah the Almighty. We should develop absolute faith in the Day of Accountability. We should have firm conviction in our every act or whilst performing any action, that Allah the Almighty is watching over me. To endure every difficulty and hardship for the sake of Allah the Almighty, we should supplicate to God for help. We should supplicate to Allah the Almighty for such strength of faith, which becomes a sign that our faith should be strengthened so much so that no worldly greed, no worldly desire should ever be able to shake our faith. In order to perform virtuous acts and righteous deeds, we should wipe our minds away from any fear whatsoever. Without pretentiousness, we should be those who carry out all righteous actions. Every righteousness should become an intrinsic part of our nature. We should become those who submit before Allah the Almighty to obtain strength of resolve and steadfastness. We should strive to search for those standards of worship which bring us near to Allah the Almighty. Thus, these are those standards which every believer should strive to acquire. For this, he should supplicate and pray. Is there any true believer who after this can raise the question that why should we pray to obtain martyrdom? This is that true martyrdom for which a believer must pray for. This is so that he can become a true mu'min, a true believer. With reference to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the few matters which I have covered are such which most certainly every single one of us should keenly desire and yearn to acquire, to adopt, and to make it a part and parcel of our lives. In fact, we must do so. When we attain these standards, then irrespective of the fact that the attacks and bullets cause us to give up our lives, even living in a peaceful country of the world, we can still obtain the rank of martyrdom. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so. As I announced in the last Friday sermon in Hamburg, there was a notification of a martyrdom. Because the details were not available, the funeral was not offered. Today, inshallah, God willing, after the Friday prayer, I will lead the funeral of the martyr Maqsood Ahmed Sahib, son of Nawab Khan Sahib. He was martyred on 7 December 2012 in Quetta. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Ahmadiyyat originated from the paternal grandmother of the father Nawab Khan Sahib, Mukarrama Baghbari Sahiba. It was through her that Ahmadiyyat came. She lived near Qadian in Nangal. She took the birth, the Pledge of Allegiance at the hands of the promised Messiah, whom be peace. After the creation of Pakistan, this family migrated and then went to Saival. Then in 1965, they went to Quetta. Maqsood Sahib was born in Quetta. He was 31 years old. He had education until middle. He was carrying out some contracting or business work with his father. In this year, in November, his brother Munzoor Ahmed Sahib was also martyred. Before his martyrdom, Maqsood Sahib was carrying out construction work. He also spent some time with his brother in the hardware shop. After his brother's martyrdom, he fully took over the work of the shop. The incident of the martyrdom took place as follows. On 7th December, in the morning at 9 o'clock, Maqsood Sahib, for the purpose of his work, arrived at the hardware store in Satellite Town. He left his workers in the shop and went to drop off his children in the school which was in Satellite Town. After dropping his children to the school he had just exited, when two unknown assailants on motorcycles came to him and fired at him. As a result of the firing, the martyr was hit by 5 bullets. 4 of them hit his head and 1 bullet hit his shoulder. He was immediately taken to the hospital, but the wounds could not be healed, and he obtained the rank of martyrdom en route. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. As I mentioned, last month his elder brother was martyred. In 2009, he was also kidnapped. 12 days later, after a very large ransom, he was freed. The deceased had great enthusiasm for service to mankind. Whenever a medical camp was erected, the martyred would not only provide his car, but he would also drive the car himself and go alongside. He would also present his car for the work of preaching. He would go alongside, and he would greatly care for any missionary who came to Quetta. He would be happy serving them. He would carry out security duty with great keenness and enthusiasm. In particular, he would carry out this duty on Friday. Sadr Sahib, Satellite Town Quetta, has mentioned that the martyr was extremely hospitable, very kind-hearted, jolly, and simple. He was never angry at anyone, and neither did he ever give anyone a reason to be angry with him. At times, if the opposition spoke to him with harsh words, he would just ignore them. It was not that he did not feel it. At home, he would relate what they said and would cry that such and such opponent has said this and this to me today. Three days before the martyrdom, the Sadr Sahib said, he called me. He said, why have you not taken my chanda until now? And on that day, he fully gave all his required chanda. He had an extremely loving relationship with his wife and children. He never spoke to his wife or children in a loud voice. Apart from his parents, he would greatly respect his wife's parents. He would be greatly caring in every single respect. Apart from his father, Nawab Khan Sahib, he leaves behind respected wife, Sajda Maqsood Sahiba, one son, Masroor Ahmed, who is 9 years old, a daughter, Maryam Maqsood, who is 7 years old. He has two sisters. His own mother passed away. He had a stepmother because the father had married for the second time. The Mu'allam satellite town writes about him. He was a person of very simple nature. Hospitality of this home was a distinctive feature and great quality. He would greatly respect the missionaries and present himself before them with great regard. There was a prayer center in the home. He always tried to have it filled and active. Prayers would take place in his home, then also proper classes of the Waqf-e-Noor and Atfal. He would especially take care of the moral upbringing of the children. In fact, he was thinking that such circumstances are now prevalent in Quetta that he should migrate, and he was consulting with Mualim Sahib and he was going to write to me, but this was the decree of Allah the Almighty, that beforehand Allah the Almighty conferred upon him the status of martyrdom. His father had only two sons, and both had been sacrificed in the way of Allah the Almighty. All his father said, looking up towards the heavens, was that, O Allah, you have taken both of them. Now you take revenge yourself from these cruel and unjust people. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. This martyrdom was written in his destiny. May Allah the Almighty be the protector and guardian of his children and take them into his refuge. May Allah the Almighty grant the parents, wife and children endurance, patience and solace. May Allah the Almighty also punish the enemies.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر